You have your Bibles ready. We're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture, but I'm not going to read them right here at the beginning. We'll look at them in just a few moments here. But Father, I do pray that You'd bless the things You put on my heart for this evening, and that You would use them, as I've asked earlier, to edify Your people by making us a more grateful people and helping us to count our blessings this evening. And Lord, just make us a more grateful people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to commend you this evening for being here on this Thanksgiving Eve. I commend you for that. I know that many of you are like me, in that there are other places you could and you would enjoy being. And there are other people that you could and would enjoy being with. And that there are other things that you could and would enjoy doing. I know that. Yet, like me, you are here. Now, why is it that we're here this evening? In spite of the fact that there's other people we could and enjoy be with and would enjoy being with them, and things we could enjoy doing and would enjoy doing and so forth, why is it that we're here? Is it because that you have to? Well, that's certainly not the case. I wouldn't make anybody be in church if I could, unless it was my children under my roof there, you know, somebody under my authority there. But as far as forcing anybody to be here, I would not do that. I invite people, I encourage people, but I would never force anybody to be here. I think that God's created us with a free will, and that you'll give an account to how you use your free will one way or the other. So it's not that you have to be here. The reason you're here this evening is this, it's because you decided to. You just said, this is what I ought to do, and I want to be, and I'm going to be here. And I want to commend you. I want to commend you for that. Now, your decision to be here is a testimony. It's a testimony of your love for the Lord. It's a testimony of your love for His Word. It's a testimony of your love for His house. And it's a testimony of your love for His people. It's a testimony that you hear this evening. And though there are some, and perhaps there would be many, that will criticize you for being in the house of God on the eve of a holiday, you mark this down, deep down inside, though they may criticize you and belittle you, deep down inside, they admire you for your faithfulness to the Lord. In fact, some of those that would be your strongest critics, deep down inside, the fact that you are here, it brings conviction to them and it troubles them. And deep down inside, they will admire you. They won't admit it unless they get right with God. But if they ever do get right with God, they'll let you know how much they admire. And I've seen that happen many times over the years. Now, on this Thanksgiving Eve, I must. I don't guess I really have to. But I feel like I should preach on the subject of Thanksgiving. And as I do, I'm going to direct your attention to three thoughts taken from two different verses of Scripture. The two verses of Scripture. First of all, the first Scripture is the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And so I want you to find that, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And from this verse, we're going to take two thoughts. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Two thoughts from this verse. Now here's what the verse says. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the two thoughts that were taken from this one verse. The first thought is this. As children of God, and the book of Ephesians was written to God's people, don't expect the world to understand with the way we do and the way we think. But this is written to us as the children of God. And so the first thought is this. As children of God, we are to give thanks always. Always. Otherwise, there should never be a time when we are not giving thanks to the Lord. We ought to always be a thankful people. And the second thought is this. As children of God, we are to give thanks for all things. For all things. Some are pleasant, some are unpleasant, but we ought to give thanks for all things. Now, the other passage of Scripture is this. It's the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, I said two verses, three thoughts. I've given you one verse, Ephesians 5:20. Got the two thoughts. We're to give thanks always. We're to give thanks for all things. So, one more verse and one additional thought to add to these two. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says this, and again this is written to us as God's people, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now here's this thought. As children of God, we are to give thanks in everything. Now you think about this. We're to give thanks always. We're to give thanks for all things. And we're to give thanks in everything. Now, to state these three thoughts in a single sentence, we could put it something like this. All right? The child of God should thank the Lord all the time for all things, whether they are pleasant or unpleasant, under all circumstances, again, whether the circumstances are pleasant or unpleasant. We're to give thanks to the Lord all the time for all things under all circumstances. Now, I realize that it is a lot easier to say something like that than to do it. And I realize that it can only be done by faith in the Lord, especially when you're experiencing unpleasant things or you're going through difficult circumstances. In order to give thanks for those things and in those things, it's going to take faith, because your emotions and your feelings and everything else is going to say there's nothing here to do anything but to complain about. But in those times, we need to remind ourselves of passages like Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. As children of God, hopefully we do love the Lord. Amen? We should. And we know God's called us for a purpose. And therefore, if we believe that, if we realize that, if we love the Lord and we know we've been called of God, then by faith we can say at all times, for all things, and in all circumstances, we can say, "Thank you, Lord. This is not pleasant to go through with. I don't know why I'm going through it, but I know this, that You're working it together with other things in my life for Your glory and for my good." And so by faith, at times, we have to give thanks. It goes against the grain of our flesh, but we do it. Now, the word "think" and the word "thank," from what I've read, they are words that are closely akin in their origins, and even they are closely akin phonetically. You think about the word "think" and "thank." Phonetically, they're also very close akin, which makes sense, because you cannot truly give thanks without first thinking. You've got to think to realize, hey, this is what I ought to give thanks for, or this is a reason to give thanks, or here's something I ought to be thankful for. Here's what the Bible says about this. So they're very closely akin. Thanksgiving requires thinking. And I hope that in this Thanksgiving season, especially tonight and tomorrow, I hope that you will take time to be thinking about the things the Lord's done for you and how all you've got to be thankful for. And if you will pause to think, you'll realize this: you have a whole lot more to be thankful for than you realized. Whenever I was a student in college, we were going through a difficult time. I was, of course, under a lot of stress, working full time, taking a full load in school and so forth there. And we were struggling at times financially. And I remember at one point, it was just a very low time for myself and for my wife. And my son was just a little boy then. Of course, he wasn't aware of how, the stress we were under there. But it was a very low time for us. And I thought about, we went to have our family devotions. I thought about, now, what in the world have we got, it's going to be difficult praying. we just tend to want to grumble and complain about things. And so as we came to our prayer time, I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Tonight, we're not going to ask God for anything. We're going to have our read the Bible and our prayer time. We're not going to ask God for anything. And the way we would usually have our devotions is this: one of us would lead in prayer. And I said, instead of asking God for anything, tonight what we're going to do is we're just going to thank God for the things He's done for us. And I said, the way we're going to do it is this. I'll start out, I'll say, "Thank you, Lord, for this." And then Patricia could say, "Thank you, Lord, for something." And then my son, though he was a little boy, he could thank the Lord for something. then I'd thank the Lord for something, and Teresa would thank the Lord, and then he would thank the Lord. And I said, we'll just keep doing that until we run out of things to thank the Lord for. Now, remember, we're going through a difficult time, and we were prone to grumble and complain and so forth there, but we just started thanking God. And you know what? It turned out to be one of the sweetest devotions I guess we about ever had. And as we did that, we realized, because we just kept going round and round and round, those little sentence prayers, Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for this. And we kept going round and round and round. I tell you what, when we got through, I think we realized, I know my wife and I did, like I said, my son was so small, I don't know that he was aware of the difficulties we were facing. But whenever we got through, we realized this. You know something? We've got no reason to complain. We've got it very good. God has been very good to us. And you know why how we came to realize that? Because we stopped to think. We stopped to think. So stop and think about how good the Lord's been to you, and you'll realize you've got plenty to thank the Lord for. Now, I pulled out a file, and really tonight I thought, really I said I'm just going to probably talk about 10 minutes and so forth and let the folks go. But I pulled a file out. Over the years, I've cut things out. I used to carry in my pocket one of these little razor pens, so that if wherever I was at, if I was reading a magazine or something like that, and I saw something I wanted, I'd pull that little pen out and I'd cut it out. And then it got to where some places you weren't allowed to take stuff like that in, so I quit carrying that. And there, but I've cut things out. In fact, I had a fella, and I want to thank the Lord for this. I just thought about this. His name was Robert. Robert lived with his mother. She was an elderly lady, and a very unique lady. She was very faithful. As long as I knew her, she always had a walker and so forth there, had to come to church. But very faithful lady. And Robert, I don't know what was wrong with Robert, but he was a tall guy and a strong guy. But I don't know if it was a birth defect or what, but you could tell he was not quite there, all right? And he would do this. He would go out to dumpsters behind some store. He found out that they had a lot of magazines and so forth like that, and they would throw them away when they got old. And he would go out there and he'd get those magazines and he'd go through them. And he would cut things out that he thought would interest me. And he would bring me at times stacks of stuff rubber banded together, like stacks of little articles he'd cut out like about that tall. And I'd go through those things. And you know what? A lot of them I saved. And some of the things I shared with you tonight, I got to thinking, they might have been stuff that Robert cut out years ago. Now, Robert and his mother both are with the Lord now. But thank the Lord for somebody like that, a fella that most people just write off, but yet he wanted to do what he could to help his preacher. And he was cutting out things that I could use for illustrations and so forth. So some of these things might have come from Robert. But in that file, I just began pulling some things out and some little stories and illustrations I think that will encourage our heart. First of all, here's a story from the life of Matthew Henry. I've heard this years ago, and then I ran across it and cut it out and filed it away. But Matthew Henry, he's best remembered today because of his commentaries. And I'll tell you this, you wouldn't, from the way we look at the Bible as pre-tribulation, pre-millennialist, and so forth, we wouldn't agree with some of the things that Matthew Henry said. But he was a man that knew the Bible, and usually it's very profitable if you go to his old commentary if you're trying to understand the passage of Scripture. But he's best remembered today for his commentaries, but the story goes that one day he was accosted by some thieves, and they robbed him. And in the process of robbing him, they took what he called his purse. We would probably call it our billfold. But he wrote that evening in his diary, and he was known to keep a diary. But that afternoon, that evening, at the close of the day, after he'd been robbed that day, he wrote this in his diary. He said this concerning his robbery. He said, "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And finally, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. He found four things to be thankful for at the end of the day whenever he had been robbed. Always something to be thankful for. Amen? Always. And then a couple of stories that I had in my files about children at the table. And one of them was a family that had several children that were gathered at the table for their big Thanksgiving meal. And said at the table, the way they set it up, only the daddy sat at the head of the table, and on his right was his wife, and over on his left was his youngest child. Little old boy, probably about, I'm assuming probably about 4 or 5 years old, something like that. The article did not say how old he was, but it sounded like something about a 4 or 5 year old would do. But there they were sitting there, mom on the right, little boy on the left, and right in the middle of the table was a big old turkey there with the legs sticking up and just golden brown that mama had baked or and so forth there, broiled there. Big, beautiful turkey there. And they were getting ready to get into it. The daddy said something like this. He said, now, normally I ask the blessing. He said, but this evening what we're going to do for this meal on Thanksgiving Day, before we eat, he said, we're all going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. And every one of us sitting at the table, we're going to go around the table, and every one of us is going to thank the Lord for something specific in our lives. He said, I want to start with mom over here on my right, and we're going to just go all the way around the table, and we're going to end up with this little boy over here on my left, his youngest child there. And so, boy, the little boy, you know, children, the younger they are, the more excited they get about things like this. The little boy was real excited. Something came to his mind immediately. And lo and behold, mom thanks the Lord for something. Somebody else thanks the Lord for something. And lo and behold, somebody took what he was going to say. And so something else came to his mind. And lo and behold, an older brother or sister, they said, I took that prayer, that praise. And so something else came to his mind. And it seemed like everything that came to the little fellow's mind, before it got to him, an older brother or sister, his mother, took that word of thanksgiving, what he was going to thank the Lord for. And so it gets to him, and he's thinking, what is left for me to thank the Lord for? And the little boy, he said something like this. When it was his turn, and everything that he had thought of had already been taken by somebody else, and in desperation, the little boy said something like this. He said, Lord, I want to thank you that I am not a turkey. Amen. I guess that turkey sitting in the middle of the table got his attention. Thank you that I'm not a turkey. That would be especially true on Thanksgiving Day. Amen. And then I read another little story. I had this in my files about a little boy that he was sitting at the table. It wasn't necessarily on Thanksgiving Day, meal like this previous one. But said he sat at the table and his mother fixed his plate. And there was something on his plate that he did not like. And he was refusing to eat it. Now, his mother was determined that he was going to eat everything on his plate. That was back in the days when kids ate what was put on their plate. Some of you remember those days? Amen. All right. You didn't have any choice. If it was on your plate, you ate it. And so anyway, there was something on his plate, and he did not like it. He was determined not to eat it, and his mom was determined he was. So everybody at the table finished eating, and they were excused. And the little boy just sat there. He was not going to eat what was on his plate. And his mother said, all right, son. She said, I'm going to tell you what. She said, you're going to sit there till you eat everything on your plate, and that you're not getting up until ever you do. And then when you get through, you're going to thank God for it. And so the little boy sat there for a long period of time. And he finally realized mom's not going to give in. And he wanted to get up and go outside. And so finally he forced down that whatever it was on his plate that he did not want. And he said, Mama, I've eaten everything on my plate. Can I go? She said, came in and she said, well, there's one other thing. Remember, I told you, you're going to eat everything on your plate. And then you're going to have to thank the Lord. So now you got to thank the Lord. And so the little boy, he bowed his head, and I guess he was determined he was going to get the last word in. And he said, Lord, I thank you that that food has not made me sick. Amen. So I guess even if it's something you don't like, you can thank God if it doesn't make you sick. Amen. So I thought those are humorous little stories. And then this other was a story. I don't know where I cut this article out, or if Robert was one that cut it out. But it was a true story. It looked like maybe something that I had cut out of a Reader's Digest years ago. Maybe it came out of the way the story was. But the story was told by a lady who worked at a nursing home. In the article, it was called a rest home. But she worked in a nursing home and said it was a terrible ice storm, and everybody was being advised not to venture out for the sake of their safety. They said, it's unsafe to drive. You don't need to get out on the roads, so just stay home tonight. Now, the lady that was telling the story, she had worked all day, and she thought to herself, she said, you know something? I'm going to just have to work all night because I know that my replacement, the lady's going to come take my place. I know she's never going to come in on this second shift. And so she just assumed that she was going to have to work all night long. And lo and behold, to her surprise, the lady that was her replacement for the evening shift, she showed up. And she was just had a overcoat on that was just covered with water and so forth. Said the knees of her uniform, they had been soiled. The lady's was all disheveled. She had a scarf over her head and the water and the ice and so forth forming on that. And she was amazed that she came. And so she told the lady, she said, I'm surprised that you've come in here. You're all wet and you're cold and the knees of your uniform's all soiled. You must have fallen or something. She said, tell me, how in the world did you get here? And the lady told her, she said, well, you know, I only live about two blocks away. And so what I did is I crawled on my hands and my knees all the way here. And that's how I got here. I crawled on my hands and knees for about two blocks to get here. And she said, oh my, I am so thankful. Well, the lady that she was going to replace, she said, well, what in the world have you got to be thankful for? Here you were, you crawled on your hands and knees through the ice and snow, and here it is, the sun has already set, and it's dark. What in the world have you got to be thankful for? And said the lady with all seriousness, she looked at her and she said, I'm thankful because it was dark and my neighbors couldn't see what I was doing. She was thankful. She wasn't embarrassed about it. So, something always to be thankful about. Amen? Always to be thankful for. And then I read another little story, and I pulled this one out. It was by a preacher by the name of John Gray. I don't know who John Gray was, but he was a preacher. This article went of years gone by. And he was known for his thankfulness. Every Sunday, he'd get up to preach, and he'd start out praying, thanking God for something. Every single Sunday. And said it was a cold, windy, snowy Sunday morning, and a lot of his congregation wasn't there. Perhaps they could not make it or just weren't willing to brave the storm to get out there. But the old preacher, he made it. And the handful of people that were there, they kind of were discussing among themselves, old Brother Gray, every time he comes, he opens up praying, thanking God for something. Wonder what in the world if he can find anything to thank the Lord for today. And they were discussing that before the church and said, lo and behold, the preacher got up and all of them were listening. And the old preacher got up and he said, Lord, he said, this is a wretched day, no doubt about it. But we thank you, dear Lord, that every day isn't as bad as this one. Right. So listen, if things are going bad, you can thank God every day's not like that. Amen? What I'm trying to get you to see is there's always something to be thankful for. And I read that story, and I thought about bad weather. And a lot of times we complain about the weather. It's never quite right for us, is it? But I thought about this story here about old John Gray and that bad day of weather. And I realized this. You know what? If it had not been for bad weather that forced me to stay home instead of go to work on January the 27th, 1973, I would have not have been there when the soul winner came by and gave me the gospel, led me to Christ. I thank God for that bad weather that day. Thank God for that ice storm that came through and kept me from getting out and going to work. And I also thought about another case where bad weather turned out to be a great thing. If you're familiar with the testimony of Charles Spurgeon, you realize this. He was just a teenage boy, and he was under deep conviction of sin. And he'd been going from church to church, hoping to hear the gospel. And everywhere he went, he said nobody told him how to be saved. They told him about all kinds of other things, but nobody said anything about being saved. And so a Sunday morning came around, and Spurgeon decided, He had picked another church out he hadn't tried yet, and he was going to try to make it that church. But because of the bad weather, he wasn't able to make it there. And he thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And lo and behold, he happened to look down, from what I understand, it was just like a little side street, a little alley, and there was a little church there that he hadn't noticed before. And he said, you know what? He said, I'll go there. I can't get to where I planned on going. And he went down to that little church, and the preacher didn't show up, just a handful of people there, and an old layman got up, and basically I took the text over there, look and live, about the people in Israel looking at the brazen serpent, and pointed at Mr. Spurgeon, said he was sitting at the back, and pointed at him and said, young man, you're a miserable young man, and you're going to stay miserable until you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Spurgeon said there that morning at that place where he had never intended on going, but he ended up there because of the bad weather, there he looked to Christ and was saved. Aren't you thankful that he did? Amen? Man, one of the greatest men used of God in the last several hundred years, for sure. Thank God for bad weather. Good things come out of bad weather. Amen? Now, if you can't think of anything to be thankful for, you can be thankful for things that you don't have. Here's a little poem that I copied. It says, we thank Thee, Father, for the care that did not come to try us, the burden that we did not bear, the trouble that passed by us, the task we did not fail to do, the hurt we did not cherish, the friend who did not prove untrue, the joy that did not perish. We thank Thee for the blinding storm that did not loose its swelling, and the sudden blight of harm that came not nigh our dwelling. We thank Thee for the dart unsped, the bitter word unspoken, the grave unmade, the tear unshed, the heart tie still unbroken. So if you can't find something to thank the Lord for, you can find some things to thank the Lord that you did not experience. Amen? And my, we are so blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed. My, the fact that we had the help to be here, we got a lot to be thankful for that did not happen to us. A lot. Now, surely you've got something to be thankful for other than what has not happened to you. Surely you've got plenty to be thankful for other than what has not happened to you. But remember, the words think and thank, they are closely akin if you study the etymology of those words. And they're also closely akin just in their sounds. And so if you'll stop and think about it, you'll find that it's not only things that you did not experience this past year that you've got to be thankful for, but there's a lot of things that you have experienced, maybe experienced on a rather regular basis, to be thankful for. You just don't stop to think about it. And someone wrote this. I was obviously a housewife. And as I read this, I thought, well, a lot of this probably wouldn't make sense to a lot of young people. They wouldn't understand some of the things this housewife said. But here's what she wrote. She said, Lord, thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. Now today, let's say, the dishwasher, I guess. Thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. We have plenty of food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty, stinky laundry. We have plenty of clothes to wear. And I would like to thank you, Lord, for those unmade beds. They were so warm and comfortable last night. I know many have no bed. My thanks to you, Lord, for this bathroom complete with all the splattered mirrors, soggy, grimy towels, and dirty lavatory. They are so convenient. Can some of you remember the days when you didn't have those things in the house? I tell you what, they are nice, are they not? Thank you for this finger-smudged refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. That tells me that this was written some time ago. Everything's self-defrosting now. But thank you for this finger-smudged refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served us faithfully for many years. It is full of cold drinks and enough leftovers for two or three meals. Thank you, Lord, for this oven that absolutely must be clean today. It has baked so many things over the years. The whole family is grateful for the tall grass that needs mowing and the lawn that needs raking. We all enjoy the yard. When I read that, I thought, maybe it's not as old as I thought, because I remember a day whenever you kept the grass pulled up out of the yard. Amen. And then she says, thank you, Lord, for the slamming screen door. My kids are healthy and able to run, play, and jump. And finally, Lord, the presence of all these chores awaiting me says, You have richly blessed my family. I shall do them cheerfully, and I shall do them gratefully. You think about that. Just the chores you do, the things you do. And a lot of times you look at them as things that would be aggravating. But you stop and think about it. All those chores you do, they are there because God's blessed us. And you've got something to be thankful for, whether it's washing the dishes, washing the clothes, vacuuming the floor, mopping the floor, washing the windows, washing the car. All that, you wouldn't have those chores if God had not been so good to us. We've got plenty to thank the Lord for. Amen? And it boils down to this, and I close with this. The child of God should thank the Lord, as I said earlier, summarizing those two verses, the three thoughts from those two verses. The child of God, I said, should thank the Lord how often? All the time. For how many things? For all things. Even the unpleasant things? Yes. Whether they're pleasant or unpleasant. And under what circumstances? All circumstances. Not only for all things, but in all things. That is, whatever your circumstances are, thank the Lord for them. We have got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? And that's the thought I want to leave with you this evening. Let's pause. Let's pause tonight and tomorrow to think about how good God has been to us. Amen? Now, I'm not even going to ask Mrs. Fleming to play a hymn of invitation. We're just going to bow our heads. And if you feel like, you know something, I just feel like I ought to get on the altar, then you take this opportunity to do that. But if not, you can at least certainly thank God for something there as you sit at the pew. And if you say, you know something, I can't think of anything to thank the Lord for, then you ask God to help you to think, because if you think, I guarantee you, you've got a lot to be thankful for. You've got a lot to be thankful for. I've been thinking so much the last day or so, I've been in the house by myself, and been thinking about people that influenced my life, people that helped care for me, Sunday school teachers I've had in the past, men of God that have influenced my life, the man that led me to Christ, and people that just so much to be thankful for. The church I pastored in Alabama and the church that here I pastor, and how much people in both congregations I've grown to love them, and how much they've loved me, and how much we mean to each other. I'm thankful for my family and so forth. I'm telling you, God's just been so good. He's been good to us, has He not? And just thank God for Him. Stop and think, and thank the Lord. Dear Lord, we do have so much to be thankful for. And the older we get, and the more we look back on our lives and reminisce, the more we realize how good You've been to us. The more we realize that when we were in those circumstances which were most stressful and trying, and whenever we were dealing with things that were unpleasant, we look back and we realize that those are some of the things to be most thankful for. Because in those things and dealing with those problems, Lord, You matured us and You grew us and You molded us. And we look back and we realize those have proven to be some of the best things that ever happened to us. Thank You, dear Lord. Help us to pause tonight, even as we fill our heads, and as we seek to sleep, to just go to sleep thinking about how good You've been to us and thanking You. And then wake up in the morning with that spirit of thanksgiving and spend tomorrow, Lord, even when we're around families and so forth and friends, thanking God for them and thanking God for the good food and thanking God for the people that, Lord, You used to get the food to us. I think about, Lord, the people that tilled the ground in order to make it possible to sow the seed, and the people that sowed the seed, and the people that fertilized the seed, and the people that watered it, and the people that harvested the crop, and the people that processed it and hauled it to us and put it on the shelves in the supermarket. And Lord, so many things, so many people we've got to be thankful for that we don't even we'll never see this side of heaven. Lord, help us to pause and think how good you've been to us. And everybody say with their pastor, Amen.